Good morning. This is the sixth Sunday of Lent, and our focus statement for this morning is the plot thickens. The Passion Week is thick with multi-layered and complex symbolism. The characters in God's story are not straightforward. The people who praised Hosanna and hailed Jesus on the coming King may be the very ones who later shouted, "Crucify him." Like them, we find ourselves to be deeply complex characters within the covenant story, characters whose unredeemed motives, desires, and passions all too often drive our behavior and our actions. I invite you to go to the back of your bulletin, and we will read this responsively this morning. Give thanks to the Lord. God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
The Lord our God has given us life.
Give thanks to the Lord. God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Let us pray. O Lord, open our ears this morning. Awaken us from our slumber. Open our hearts to receive your love, a love that has been waiting for us. We stand up and raise our hands to give you thanks and praise for your generous, unfailing mercy and love. Open our eyes to see what kind of God you are, a God whose love never fails despite our broken ways and failures. Amen.
As Grace lights this candle, it reminds me of the candles that many lit yesterday during Earth Hour around town and across the nation. And instead of using electricity, you know, meditating on the lights. And today, March 20, coming into the spring equinox, where we are celebrating life and lights becoming visible again. And at the same time that the light returns today, it marks the 13th anniversary to the day of the most major recent invasion of Iraq, led by us, led by the United States. And so that's why I asked this young person to light the candle, the young people that are coming in now. They do not know a world consciously without the invasion of Iraq, without being an endless war. For the length of time that they've been thinking and moving and breathing and asking questions, we have needed to respond, why are we at war? And so today this peace candle represents the humility that we need to have, humbled by the circumstances in which we find ourselves, even as we meditate on the light that peace and that Jesus bring into our world. Thank you.
If you would stand and take out the blue hymnal, a worship book, and turn to number 106.
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And as this is a very joyful song, if we could keep it moving, that would be even more joyful.
We welcome all the visitors here today, and on each side we have a microphone, so if you feel comfortable, we invite you to stand up and give us your name and where you're from. So we'll start on this side.
Hi, I'm Kerr. I'm Carissa Hine, and I'm very happy to have my mom, Jill, and our friend Cindy with me here this morning. Cindy has also been my prayer partner from my church at home for the past few years, so it's just really special to have them here for Palm Sunday.
Bethany and I have some friends here visiting from Dillsburg. Their names are Jason and Naomi Smith, and their children, Gloria, Reuben, and Miriam.
Sarah Malone, visiting from University Baptist and Brethren Church, also representing Interfaith Initiative Center County.
My name is Gary Peterson. I live here in State College, and I'm here because the Rosenbergers invited me.
Our neighbor.
Yeah. All right. Welcome, everyone. We invite the children to come front, and Allison will lead us in a children's time.
everyone. Welcome. How many of you like stories? Who likes stories? You know, when we read stories, sometimes stories are fun because we make them up. And sometimes they're really fun and interesting and wonderful because they're true, right? Lots of stories we read are true. And we learn a lot about God's story and things that happened long ago based on stories written in the Bible. And one of God's stories that we're kind of celebrating, a story that happened long ago, we're celebrating today, involved some people and some plants and some animals. Does anyone know this story? Yeah, so Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He was in a very hot place. You ever been in a hot place? It's a little bit hot here in the summer, but the place where Jesus spent a lot of his life was very hot. I know a little bit about that because I spent most of a summer there, and I was working outside, and it was very hot. And Jesus was walking towards a city called Jerusalem, and when he was getting close, he asked someone to get a donkey so he could ride on it. And when he came into the city, people were so excited to see him, they were shouting something. Does anybody know what they were saying? No, Lily? Hosanna. They were saying Hosanna. Is that a word we say now? No. Well, so people, you know, they were using it as a term of praise, but it also meant help us, rescue us, save us. And we still say things like that to Jesus today. And so the other thing that happened with plants is people went out to the trees and they went out to the fields and they cut plants and they waved things and they put them in the road for Jesus to walk in. So I'm going to tell you another story, but after that story, we're going to go and share these with everyone in church. So the next story is about some things that are happening in another hot place. This place is called Texas. Have any of you ever been to Texas? Ezra's been there. Okay, how about the grown-ups? You want to look back and see how many grown-ups have been to Texas? Wow! Almost everyone. Okay. So in Texas, there's a lot of big cities, and one of those very big cities is called Houston. And in Houston, there's a church there that I got to go to that I think is a big part of God's story. And lots of people there have a lot of needs. They have things that, like food. Sometimes people don't have jobs. Sometimes people don't have a good place to live. And people gather together and worship God and call out to him and say things that mean things similar to Hosanna. And when I lived there, I got to be part of this church. And there were lots of kids. And I got to spend time with wonderful kids. And in particular, when I first arrived, I got to teach a Bible class. And it was girls in eighth grade. Now, not many of you are quite that old yet, but you can imagine maybe what it feels like to be a few years older. And so one of the things I realized that we do together is just doing things to have fun. Well, one thing is, first, I meant to show you. So we have this puzzle at home. And if you don't know where Texas is, does anybody know where Texas is? Lily knows. Gloria, do you know? Yes. Okay, so it's also a big state. There's a lot of people there. It's also a big state. And what state do we live in? Does anyone know? What state do we live in? Yes. Pennsylvania. Okay. So one of the things, we not only got to worship together, but we got to have fun together. So one of the things we also did together was have fun. So when I got to spend time with these kids, I invited them over to my house, to my apartment, for a Christmas party. And they got to spend the night, and we had lots of fun. And those were very special times for me. And one of the things we did was we made little Christmas ornaments. And it seemed kind kind of minor at the time. You know, we just had these little plastic ornaments, and everyone got to decorate them. I brought markers and things for the girls, and we all decorated them. And one of the girls, she did this to decorate her ornament. And you may not be able to read it. You can pass it around. She wrote A plus L plus I plus S plus O plus N, Allison. So it was really special to me that she knew my name and enjoyed being with me too. And this girl in particular was a twin. Her sister, her name was Sheena, and her sister's name was Dina. And every time we go back to visit our family in Houston, I see these two girls. And now they've grown into young women, and they are continuing the story. Now they teach the classes at church to these kids, and now they now they're grown-ups. They do really great things with their lives. And so as we think about the things we do for others, being kind and sharing, I think we can think of that as being part of God's story, and it makes it even more special. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll talk about how we're going to share the palms with everyone. Dear God, help us to be part of your story, to be kind, and to help others. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pass these out, and we're going to go share them with all our friends here. And we need people, some people to go to the back and some people to go down the sides. So Gloria and Lily and Ezra, why don't you go farthest to the back? Gloria, can you go down this side? And Lily, maybe you go down the middle, and Ezra, you go down the other side. Okay, here, Gloria, let me give you a few more. Okay. Reuben, why don't you can go on the same side as Gloria, but maybe start in the front. You need some more. You can.
Thank you, children. That was beautiful. I really appreciate that you're involved in the congregation service. At this time, we will have our offering, and we will have a special offertory music as well.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you today giving you our offering and our tithes of money, of prayer, of volunteer working. We want to give you our whole selves, our soul, our beings. Bless us and keep us in your care, that we will follow your teachings and that we will use our money towards helping others in need. Amen.
I will be reading Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, which is page 594 in the Pew Bible. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught, as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me and who will declare me guilty. All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up.
I will be reading from Mark 1, verses 1 to 11, page 823. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12."
I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." It is indeed good to be back with you today here at University Mennonite Church on this glorious Sunday, Palm Sunday, a Sunday to celebrate the Prince of Peace and participate in his quirky parade. We are blessed to be able to gather again to contemplate his unique teachings, and to see our beloved spiritual friends and siblings, and to wrestle together with the questions of life on this earth. It's Parade Sunday, folks. Which parade are you in? The Empire's parade comes in through Herod's gate. The old city of Jerusalem has a number of gates and openings in its walls. And coming in through Herod's gate, you can take a highly visible trek toward the temple. This parade would have been a large celebration in the best market area of town, with a gentle ascension towards the Temple Mount, to that place where Jewish religious and economic power was consolidated in this province under Roman imperial rule. But entering the city from the Mount of Olives, you come in through Lion's Gate. You come up on the side of the temple. And many people still do this today. At various points in this story, from Bethphage and Bethany down the Mount of Olives, are marked by smaller or larger churches that enshrine the meaningful moments of Jesus' journey to the temple. There is even a small marker from where the donkey originates in the story. There's another one where Jesus stopped and wept over the city of Jerusalem. Say, only if you only knew those things that made for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. There's a marker there, and then yet another marker marked by the olive trees themselves, thousands-year-old olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus passes there, knowing that potentially just a few days later, looking at it as a place maybe he might take refuge, thinking about the weeks to come. And today, as you enter the city then, you can see yet another church. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or the tomb area where Jesus' body was taken after he was killed. Sorry, that's a spoiler alert for anyone who is the first time in church. It's going to be a really intense week. And Jesus is going to die. But about 1,980 years ago, Jesus and the people who were gathered around him would not have seen the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is beautiful. And they would have seen Golgotha. They would have likely seen people hanging on crosses. They would have seen people taking the bodies off the crosses and moving them aside. They would have seen skulls. They would have seen the gruesome reality of what it's like to live under empire. You know, and that's not a kind of a welcome to the city for these travelers who were from the northern country. A very different view of the city than the parade coming through Herod's gate, which is shielded from having to see Golgotha. Well, my welcome to State College was much better, so thank you. And last night, though, I sat with a number of young people, and we discussed the grip that the Department of Defense, the military, the insidious grip that it has on this valley. And it's in some ways invisible to the naked eye, in the same way that Golgotha was visible to our naked Lord and Savior. So Jesus and his homies were met with the daunting images that reminded them of empire's intent to control their lives. We are called to move into places where we too can see what empire seeks to do to our lives, the destruction that it is creating for so many. And yet, even as they saw it, even as we see it and know its effect in our lives and the lives of others, we can still parade. Because they paraded. In the imperial parade, it had flags marking conquered territory or marking who they were. Something like the red carpet rolled out for them, and they rode on horses, horses being tools of war, yelling, "Hail Caesar!" And their economic destination was about the prophet tradition, P-R-O-F-I-T, the prophet tradition. And the Jesus parade, though, folks, this parade didn't have flags. This parade had branches from the land. And people used their own coats, no red carpet here, but that off of their own backs. And a donkey, an agrarian work animal. And they are not shouting, "Hail Caesar," but, "Hosanna, save us, we're in a mess, we need help." Their spiritual destination was of the prophetic tradition, looking at a prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Which parade are you in? Which prophet are you headed towards? Now this parade, the Jesus parade, was a public witness, a nonviolent direct action of sorts. And it showed that not everyone gives their allegiance to empire. In fact, by giving their allegiance to Jesus, all of their other allegiances were jeopardized. And that what we'll do today, if you join us on the parade here in town, is that's a public witness that our allegiance to the state is not stronger than our allegiance to the well-being of each other, than our allegiance to justice, to our faith convictions, and to life on planet Earth. And in each conscious action that we take, anytime, today or any other day, each conscious action that we take as a disciple of Christ, we can proclaim our allegiance to God's reconciling, welcoming work. Amen. And in that, we unmask the power of the Department of Death, bringing to light the realities of the effects of our military aid and our involvements. The plot certainly is thickening. Jesus is standing in the tradition of the prophets and like Isaiah, who know the consequences of standing up to empire, of choosing a different parade than the imperial parade. And these folks, like many who are under the gun today, are dealing with being insulted, spat upon, threatened. And those are the folks that Christian Peacemaker Teams, the organization I'm representing here today, stands alongside. In Colombia, this means working alongside campesinos, peasant farmers, as they seek to stay on their land in the face of multinational corporations who have come and bought the land out from under them and said, we need to clear this land to export palm oil because there are people in the north who want lotion. There are people in the north who want to use this to put in their fuel tanks. There are people in the north and outside of Colombia who want tasty food. And so we need your land, your livelihood, and your lives. And if you don't give them to us, we will eliminate you. Or in northern Iraq, where communities are returning to their homes in the mountains to find oil extraction companies drilling. And the oil extraction companies say, don't worry, we'll buy the land from you. We'll give you a good price. And the communities say, this land is not for sale. Yes, it doesn't belong to us, but we belong to this land. And we will not trade our water for oil. Communities who are coming together who know what is enough for them to live well. They are an example to us. And Christian Peacemaker Team, CPT, has the opportunity to sit with them and learn together, to look at that thread of liberation and enoughness and joy and parading that are in our shared traditions, and to tell that story. And alongside First Nations folks right here in this landmass of Turtle Island, North America, who still resist cultural devastation and ecological destruction as companies continue to log on their land and paper mills spit mercury into the water. And the indigenous communities are saying to us, as Christians and people of other faiths, you know your golden rule. We know the golden rule too, and we want to say, do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do to you. We are all connected. All the water is one. That is the challenge that we hear. Will we be in their parade? Or will we continue to plunder the earth with empire? What will we do? Which parade are you in? And we also do work in Palestine with Israeli peacemakers and Palestinian peacemakers working together to end the U.S. and Israeli military occupation. And that is the terrain, that very hot place that Allison spoke of, on which this story takes place today. And many details of this story come alive when they are in the places that the story actually happened. For example, growing up, I always thought it was so odd that someone could go get a donkey, and the owner of the donkey comes out and says, what are you doing with my donkey? And they're like, don't worry, we just need it for a little bit. And the guy's like, all right, cool. That's odd in a place where I grew up. There are donkeys, but people don't share. And spending time in Jerusalem and meeting the communities of caring and sharing, I can now see how that happens. People truly share and borrow and participate with one another in whatever's happening. So it's likely that the person loaned the donkey and said, and I'm coming with you to participate in whatever was happening. And much of Palestine is rural and connection with animals and the land. And people do things like separate sheep and goats. And at the same time, because of the modern reality of expanding Israeli settlements, and settlements that are like in apartment buildings and there are schools and swimming pools in this place that's water scarce, the grazing area for both the sheep and the goats is reduced. And olive trees are uprooted and burned, and water resources are being confiscated from Palestinian farmers. And so we walk alongside them, and we also walk alongside children who go to and from school and must now pass through Israeli military checkpoints. And we document what is happening, and we're sharing risk with those whose lives and livelihoods are threatened, particularly by the imperial expansion. And much of that expansion is financed by Christians around the world who have a particular understanding of how the end times will happen. And this Christian Zionism, it's called, is causing death and destruction. And it's very disrespectful to the heart of Judaism, and it distorts Christianity, and it sidelines the beauty in Islam. And so part of Christian Peacemaker Team's work, even as a multi-faith group, is to be different types of Christians, different types of Jews and Muslims, people in a different parade. A parade in which we use our own bodies and cloaks to live lives that witness to a different reality. So it's Parade Sunday here. And we'll head over to University Baptist and Brethren, and we'll head over to Faith and have a chance to talk to a number of people within the community. So it's Parade Sunday here, but it's also Parade Sunday in Bethlehem. It's Parade Sunday in Jerusalem. And given the time difference, right now, there are people moving all around in those areas, people from all over the world, led by Palestinian Christians themselves, indigenous Christians of the land, to walk again this path that Jesus walked. Now, the parade that starts in Bethlehem, it's only about 5 to 8 miles to Jerusalem. And people do this on foot and have done it for thousands of years. The only thing now is that there's a wall. And the people of Bethlehem cannot get to Jerusalem. The wall is as tall as this church building, made of thick concrete. And the only spots you can pass through are controlled by military security and government. This wall nearly surrounds Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, those lyrics have changed now. No longer laying quietly, but surrounded by the military. This wall restricts mobility of the Palestinian population, and it blocks economic access, because there used to be quite a conversation between Bethlehem and Jerusalem in terms of trade and goods, sharing of information, and all sorts of family ties. But those are being broken by this wall, and so it's created a type of isolation. Additionally, the wall, while some of it runs alongside a UN-mandated green line, a lot of it is a land grab and makes room for the expanding settlements and closes further in on the urban Palestinian population and takes away a lot of the rural access. This wall is not yet finished being built. And it doesn't have to finish. If those of us who are not Christian Zionists say, hey, what we see in the text is that Jesus has broken down the dividing wall, as we read in Ephesians. That walls do not protect us, but the relationships with each other protect us. That wall does not have to finish, and it's up to you. This wall is trying to break the spirit of people, but nonetheless, each year, the Christians of Bethlehem march to the wall. They go as far as they can with their parade. And a couple years ago, there were some new soldiers on duty who didn't know the story and didn't know what these folks were doing when they were walking towards the wall with a donkey, with palm branches. And so at one of these points in the wall, the soldiers saw this parade coming, and they opened up the big garage door-like portal that sometimes allows trucks and tractors and things in, mostly relates to the incursion of Israeli military forces on Bethlehem. But every once in a while, there's a chance for it to open, and people can go through. And so this young soldier opened the wall. And the Palestinian Christians didn't know what to do because they weren't expecting this. So they said, this is a miracle. Let's keep going. This is the moment. We will get to Jerusalem. And so their parade kept going. They went right through the wall. For many of them, my age or older, they hadn't been on that side of the wall for about 5 or 6 years. And others who were young people had never been across the wall. So this is a moment. So they got about 200 yards and they're feeling really surprised. And then all of a sudden they see the soldiers running after them. The soldiers realize what they had done. They had just allowed many Palestinians, peaceful people, they had allowed them to go through. And though they were celebrating their religion and seeking freedom of religion, the soldiers came and pushed them all back. And they arrested each one of them. They arrested them for illegally crossing the wall without a permit. They also arrested the donkey. The donkey was in jail. It took significant time, a full day, to get everybody out of jail. The donkey was still in jail. The donkey stayed 48 hours or so. Because no one wanted to come and claim the donkey, because they knew that if you claim the donkey, then that's property that you've taken over and you actually have a charge in court. And you'd be associated, your name would be there associated with people who were considered dangerous by the state of Israel just for existing. So a donkey stayed in jail. It's now a famous donkey in Bethlehem. You can go visit the community that is there. They want people to come and see the lived reality of what is happening on the ground. And so prepare to go there. You can come with Christian peacemaker teams or another group. Come walk where Jesus walked today. But also here every day. You know, the Holy Land is everywhere. And so each conscious action that you take, you proclaim allegiance to God's reconciling, welcoming work. And you can know that through levity and through diligent community building, through asking questions and unmasking the powers and principalities of this world, that Christ is with you in this. Christ is walking with you. And you are not alone. Encouragement comes again from the prophet Isaiah. No matter who contends with you, we stand up together. Those who want to be adversarial to you, they can confront you. God is with you. And this stuff works. Witnessing works. Today, as we enter through Lion's Gate with Jesus, we can be confident that though we see the death and destruction around us, it is important to maintain our connection to people whose communities have been targets of that death and destruction. So it's okay to see it. Because we're in this parade with Jesus doesn't mean we need to block out the difficult pieces. be with communities who are the targets of police brutality, of disproportionately going to jail, of schools closing, or land being bought and sold and taken. And you could even probably hear the clamor of the Empire Parade, the election parade. But when you see the miracle happening for you, when you see the hole in the wall, a chance potentially to cross over or invite someone else into the parade, go through the hole in the wall. Keep going. I cannot verify if the soldiers won't come get you. They may, and you may be arrested, but part of our witness can be in jail. Jesus went to jail. That also happens this next week. That may be a part of what you may be facing or looking at as you take a stand. But go through that hole in the wall. See what's possible. Moving into your discomfort zone, moving into a place potentially that you haven't been in a long time, to witness to the life and the hope that is within you from this parade. And I say this stuff works because what we've seen as CPT around the world and what the statistics give us, I was sure to add a statistic since I'm staying with the professor. It's a small one, but it's an important one. Nonviolent campaigns have a success rate of 2-1 compared to armed struggle. And we can understand why many around the world, under the pressure of empire, are using any means necessary to try to resist and exist. But what we're seeing and where we work as CPT is that we get very excited about public witness and nonviolent direct action because it has success. And we'll talk more about some of these stories during our Sunday school time. But even more than the success, the 2-1, is that nonviolent direct action is in the tradition of our church. It's your spiritual heritage to revolt. In the hymn that we sang today, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, it said that the people went through the pillared courts of the temple. But actually, by the time Jesus got to the temple, they weren't singing Hosanna Loud Hosanna anymore. It's in your spiritual heritage to cleanse, to stand up to injustice, to make political and spiritual and social space where it has been closed down or never existed before. For this I am grateful. Grateful to be with you as a faithful congregation this Sunday. And let's keep it up. Thanks be to God. I will see you in the parade. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah, for a very inspiring message. And I would like to change the hymn of response to fit better, I think. Number 411 in the blue hymnal worship book. And if you would please rise if you're able. Number 411, I bind my heart this time.
Good morning. Sarah described for us this community of followers of Jesus, this community of caring and sharing. Gloria is going to lead us in announcement time, but while I'm up here, just to remind you that we will gather back here with Sarah for the adult Sunday school hour, and we'll probably try to get up here again around 11. And if I say 11, I know it's 11:05, but let's try for 11.
And following adult Sunday school here in the sanctuary with Marv and Sarah leading, we invite you all to stay for a fellowship meal in the basement. Don't worry if you didn't bring anything. There's always plenty of food. You are very welcome to stay. And then this afternoon, as it is in your bulletin, there is a State College First Ever Palm Sunday Peace Walk. It'll start at 3, but encouraging to be there at 2:45 at the Baptist and Brethren Church, which is on South Burroughs. Are there any other announcements?
Hi, Vonda Yoder. Some of you know that I work at a middle school, so here goes. Whenever I'm asking kids to concentrate on what's being said and any passages, I ask them to take